to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And live. And now your burden's lifted and carried far away. And precious blood has washed away the stain. Sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. Spills over and music fills the night. And when you can't contain the joy inside, dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. And live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Jesus and live. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus.
Sister Anna, come on. Amen.
Bless you. Thank you, Sister Lily, for the song. I'm not a musician. I just play, and I play in the house, and I just play out of how I think it sounds good. So forgive me if it doesn't sound too good.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
The great musician. See, the great musician. try the great physician in Swahili, and then I'll go to English.
We'll stand. We're going to sing one more song. Give Brother Aaron just a couple more minutes here. Going to be in E flat. Jesus is coming soon. I believe it's 288. Yeah. In the red boot. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humble your heart to God, saves from the chastening rod. Seeking where pilgrims trod, Christian away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound, will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Love is so many cold, lovers are homes of gold. This in God's word is told, evils abound. When these things come to pass, nearing the end at last, it will come very fast, trumpets will sound. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound, will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be old, happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye. Homeward then we'll fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound, all of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky, glory where no one dies, heavenward bound. Looking forward to that day.
Glory.
Let's change over service. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see.
The Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. You can have your seats. And my wife and I are going to sing this afternoon, this evening. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank the Lord for all of his blessings on us. There's a light in the window, the table spread in splendor, someone standing by the open door. But I can see a crystal river, so I must be near forever. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. See my father standing at the door. This world has been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. But I can see the family gathered, sweet faces all familiar. This world has been a wilderness, but praise God, there is a day of deliverance coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord that Brother Howe, he's already been delivered. He's already been delivered from this body, from this past house, and praise the Lord, we can rejoice that we know where he's at. It is a, you know, as Paul said, not to weep as others. He didn't say you couldn't weep. You wouldn't be sad. But those as, like those that have no hope. Thank God we've got eternal. We've got an assurance of what, where they go, where we go. And thank the Lord. We know that there's a time coming and all this is going to pass away. But praise God, we know the word of God does not pass away. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you will, just stand with me this evening. We'll look into the scripture. We'll read from two different places. Ephesians chapter 4 and then James chapter 5. And I wanted to look at something. I've spoke on this before. And go along with what Brother Wade preached a little bit and Brother Ryan's Sunday school lesson, which I thought was really good. I really enjoyed that. And something that Brother Donnie said while he was up doing responsive reading and praying. And I was like, well, Lord, I just think that must be your confirmation for me to speak on this. And because I'd looked at this and I'd preached on it before, and I got to look on it, and it just seemed like this is the way the Lord wanted us to go. So y'all just pray for me tonight, and we'll look at a few things tonight. But let's just all bow our heads and speak to the author tonight before we look into the scripture. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this evening, Lord, that we're able to gather in your house, Father, together with those of like precious faith. And Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord, for all your blessings on us. Lord, that we can come and gather around your word. And Lord, we know that it's not just a dead letter, Lord, but it has life, it has power. And Lord, we just want to glean everything that we can from it, Lord. We want to become that living word, Lord, that the world can see. Not just something that people want to talk about or look at, but we want to be a living manifestation of the word. And Father, we just pray you help us tonight, Lord, as we speak. Bless each one that's listening in, Lord, each one that's here. We just commit everything into your hands, Lord. You just bless the hearer and the speaker tonight, Lord. And we just want to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, Lord. We want to give you the preeminence, Lord. You just help us this evening, Lord. And Lord, let it not just be a gathering, Lord, but we want to hear from you tonight, Lord. And Lord, we pray for each one that has a need. Lord, you know the sick and the afflicted, Lord, all the different needs the people have. And Lord, we just commit them to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, we're just so thankful. Lord, we've seen you come on the scene so many times when it didn't look like there was a way, Lord. You made a way. And Lord, we just realize that we can just put our trust in you, our confidence in you, Lord. Lord, why should we fear? Why should we worry, Lord? Because that's not the spirit that we've been given in this hour, Lord. But we've given one of power and of love and of a sound mind, Lord. And we just commit all things to you. We thank you for it. We just want to say that we love you. And we just praise your holy name. And we just commit everything in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4. We begin at verse 11, and it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. I don't know where people get the idea that the fivefold ministry's job runs out. As long as everybody's not come to unity of faith, we've got a job to do. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So if we come to unity of the faith and the knowledge, the Son of God, and it brings us into the stature of the fullness of Christ, we got a job. He said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and be carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. That's where I want to speak from. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And James 5, verse 7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. And I just want to speak on this little thought about spiritual cultivation. And I really enjoyed what Brother Ryan had to say about, you know, all of our relationships and everything. There has to be work, and there has to be cultivating of all these things. And you know, everything, if it means something to you, if it matters to you, then you know, it takes time. It takes effort. Everything in life, because there's many people, you know, they're out to try to find a quick way of getting something. They want a get-rich-quick scheme. And, you know, there's no such thing as that. I mean, if you want to develop into any kind of person, any kind of skill, it takes time. You know, everything, you know, to even growing up, you know, because, you know, there's an old saying that many people have, and, you know, everybody, they talk about pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. And everybody thinks they're a self-made man. Well, there was somebody that said one time, he said, well, who gave you the boots with the bootstraps? So you had to have something. Somebody had to start. You had to start somewhere. You know, you're just not a self-made man. It takes, I mean, but you do have to put effort into it. It takes something. But you know what? It takes, you have to have some help to get there. And I want to look at this word cultivation. And also from James here, it talks about the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit. The word cultivate means to foster the growth of, to improve by labor, care, or study, to refine, to free something from, such as a metal, sugar, or oil, from impurities or unwanted material, to free from moral imperfection, to elevate, to improve or perfect by pruning or polishing, to further or to encourage. Now, this is the word husbandman. And husbandman says, one whose talent is to cultivate the ground. And it says in the Old Testament, here it says, the word husbandman comes from the Hebrew word adamah, which means land or of the earth, which is the same Hebrew word from which we get the word Adam, the name of the first man whom God placed in Eden to work and to care for it. And then the scripture, Genesis 2:15, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. It says, Jesus compared God to a husbandman in John 15:1-2, says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So we know that in the scripture, we know that in the Old Testament, if you did not have a religious job, everybody was a husbandman. Everybody worked in the fields, and everybody had that kind of occupation. Everybody worked in tilling the ground and taking care of all those things, and everybody had to do all those things. So it was really an important a part of the lives of the people in the Old Testament, and a lot of the types and things we see in the Old Testament all come from that kind of life and tilling the ground and all that. And the scripture, it talks about the purging of the fruit as we was reading here in John. And it says, a good husbandman worketh the earth. He cultivates plants and naturally expects them to produce fruit commiserate with the amount of effort he has invested in them. So when you put in this amount of work, you expect something out of it. Because if you're going to put in the work, then you expect something to come out of it. You know, because like Brother Wade spends a lot of time tilling the ground in the early part of the, you know, May, June, April, whatever months it is when he starts tilling the ground and getting everything ready. Well, you know, there's a lot of hours and a lot of labor involved in all of that, because he's expecting something to come from all of that. And so there you put in all this, and he says, our Heavenly Father, the divine husband, seeks to produce fruit through us as we abide in Christ. So as we are in Christ, then God has laid out a plan for us to bring forth much fruit, just as the scripture says here. He is the vine, where we are the branches, and if we're the branches, then we're the ones that are to bear the fruit. And he is the husbandman. He is wanting us to abide in Christ. And then if we're in Christ, then we are a new creature, then we are to bring forth the fruit of the work that God has done, because it's no longer I that live. It's no longer I doing the work, but it's Christ doing the work in me. And if he's doing the work, then he is supposed to be manifested in us. The work that he does is working through us that should be bringing forth this fruit. And he said, just as God is a good husbandman bringing forth fruitfulness in our lives, we should be good husbandmen with the resources he has entrusted to us. So this is a few things I want to look at later on, but kind of just laying a background here about understanding about this, about cultivating and being a husbandman and understanding what these things are. And Brother Branham was speaking here in the message, the end time seed sign, sign seed. And he was talking about the Bible. This is a quote number one, brothers. And says, he says, I read in the Bible, heavens and earth will pass away, but God's word shall not pass away. He said, I read in the Bible that whatsoever and whosoever shall take anything out or add anything to it, his part will be taken out of the book of life. That stands just the way it is. Many try to say it's been tampered with, it's been done this way or that way. I do not believe that. I believe there's got to be some kind of a standard that God will judge the church by or the world. There's got to be some standard. It cannot be in church organization because they different. Who would say, who would know what to do? But there is a standard, and that's his word. I believe that God wants, watches over his word. I believe that that word is punctuated exactly the way God wants it, the Bible. It's God's word to the people. There's where the reason I believe in that word, and I believe the word is a seed, and if that seed is sowed in the right ground and watered by the Holy Spirit, it'll bring forth of its kind. Any promise of God will do it. And so, you know, I believe that God has a standard, and this is God's standard, and God wants us, as Brother Ryan was talking about, you know, getting into the Word and studying the Word and becoming one with the Word and studying the Word and getting into the Word and meditating on the Word and it becoming a part of you. And, you know, every part. It was really good to hear Brother Ryan talk about, you know, the issues that he had in his life, the struggles that he had in his life. When he got into the Word of God, and the Word of God became a important part, and it had become such a foundation of his life, of everything he done was in the Word. That was his tie post to come back to the Word, and it becomes such an important part of him. Then when he become, because he had these struggles in his life, but when the Word becomes something that was important to him, more important than anything else, it became life to him. Then all of a sudden through that, he was able to overcome the struggles that he had, the problems and the things that he had to face in life. Then he was able to overcome it, because you cannot overcome these things in yourself. You're not able to overcome these things. But praise God, he give us the word to overcome by. Amen. And if we'll take him at his word, then, you know, we can overcome. Right. Right. See, we have to trust God if we can trust him. He says... He says, this is from Jehovah Jireh. He says, look, old brother, he said, when that Holy Spirit come up into that vine and produce from, oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, I'm sorry. But I was getting ready to read this, and Brother Branham's speaking here, and he's speaking of, here in Jehovah Jireh, this is where Brother Branham is actually speaking of going and seeing the tree. I believe it was in Arizona. He went to go see the tree that the brother had, and it had all of the citrus fruits in it. And he sees this tree, and he's fascinated by this tree, and he sees all of these different fruits living off the same life of this tree. And he's sitting there and he's like, well, how is this possible that we can see all of this fruit growing on all these trees and all this fruit is thriving in this tree? And he sees this and he starts asking the brother about this. And he was like, well, because they're all citrus fruit, they're living off the citrus life. And he said, will they bring forth oranges later on? He's like, no. He said, whatever that branch is, that's what they're going to bring forth, because that's the life that's tied to that tree. He said, they're still living off the same life, but he said, as long as that branch is tied to that tree, it'll grow whatever that branch is. And he was saying, so they had the lemons and the tangerines and everything else was growing and it was thriving. It was wonderful. But he's like, but what will take place? And that man told him, the brother told him, he said, listen, he said, if it ever brings forth another branch, if it ever brings forth an original branch from the tree, then it will always bring forth oranges because it's an orange tree. But you can tie into that. You can be grafted in. You can live off that life, but it'll never be exactly what God created it to be. And that's the reason you can't have, be tied in. And that's the reason you can have the life and you see things that take place, but it's not the original life. It's not the plan of God. But people have tied in denominations and their own ideas into the life of God, and you see things take place, but it's not original. It's not correct. And that's what Brother Branham was talking about. He said, brother, when that Holy Spirit come upon that vine, it produced from its vine. We was talking about the bride tree, the restoration of the bride tree, and produced from its vine to the very branch. He said they wrote a book of Acts behind it. He said if that tree ever puts forth another original limb, she'll grow the same thing. It'll be Jesus Christ. He said now we've got Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, Lutheran, such. He said, bearing denominational fruit. But he said, if we ever puts forth another branch, she'll be a genuine, Christ-filled, Christ-centered Word of God. He said, remember about preaching the message on the bride tree. He said, how that the husbandman come forth, and it was bearing the wrong kind of fruit, so he cut it off, kept cutting it back. But Joel said, what the palmer worm left, the cankerpoeter eaten, and what the caterpillar left, something else eaten. We find out them insects is the same insects, only in a different stage. And what the Lutheran left, the Methodist eaten. What the Methodist left, the Baptist eaten. What the Baptist left, the Pentecostal eaten. He said, the whole thing is cut down. But God said, I will restore, saith the Lord, all the years. I will send back another church in the last days. I will restore the original power again. In the evening time, it'll be light down in the heart of that tree. No matter how many branches is pruned, there will come forth the royal seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. God promised it. God will do it. He said he would do it. I will restore. He says, I will restore all the years that the denominations eat. I will restore all the years. I've pruned the thing off, but yet there will come a vine out of the heart of it. He'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, a man that meditates in the Word of God day and night, not a creed or a denomination, but meditates in the Word day and night. He'll be like a tree that's planted by the river of water. Branches shall not wither. He'll bring forth his fruit in this season. God promised it. So when he's speaking of what's taking place, but we realize that we've had a message in our day that was a message of restoration. And it was to bring back these things. And that's what has come in our day. We've received this message of restoration to bring back the fullness of the Word that has been lost down through the ages and to bring us back. And we have come to this place. And we've come to this place of realizing who we are and what God has done for us, that we have received the full Word in our day. Amen. That it has been restored to us. And all the things that have been lost, everything that has been confused on, all these things, God has restored to us. And we come back to the place where we can have the full Word, have the full assurance, and to know what God wants done with the Word, not what man has tried to take and tried to figure out on his own or anything like that. But, now we have thus saith the Lord. We have what the true understanding, the true revelation of the Word is. And so all these things have come, that all of the denominational missteps and all the confusion, everything now has been gone away. All these things have been taken away. But the problem is there's many people that have walked in the Word, but the problem is they've not walked in the full light of the Word. And you know, they walked in these things, and because the light has shone, the light has increased and gotten greater, but many people still walk in darkness and don't realize the day and the hour in which we live. When you begin to point people back to the Word to show them that all the things, all the confusion, all the things that were wrong, that were all through the ages, and when it came back to understand what the truth is, people turn it down. Because they hold on to a denominational idea. And what did Brother Branham say in the message, the birth pains, when he was talking about it? He said they want to sympathize with the Word, but they don't actually want to receive the Word. He said they want to sympathize with it, but he said they don't want to take it. They don't want to actually take it and rot away from their old denominational ideas and come to the message of the hour. They don't want to take what the truth is, even when people have come to the place when you begin to show people what the truth is. But you know, it's like Brother Branham was telling the story about the man, and you know, he was walking along the trail, you know, and he told Brother Branham, he said, "I don't agree with you on your doctrine, brother." And you know, Brother Branham began to talk to him. He was carrying that lantern. He said, "Well, how do you get home? Can you see your home from here? Can you see the path? Do you know all the way?" He's like, "No, but I've got a light. This light that is shining in here is showing me step by step by step." He said, "I know I've got a home there. And all I got to do is walk step by step by step on that path, and it'll take me home." He said, "Well, brother, that's the way the Word of God is." He said, "You can't see it all, but you got to start taking step by step by step. If you just continue to walk in the light as God shows you the light, you will continue to walk in the furtherance of the Word." But many times people have got to the place where they don't want to, "Well, I don't know. And, you know, and they get into the place where they don't want to step out. They don't want to stand on their own convictions. They don't want to stand out and be separate. They don't want to be an oddball. They don't want to be, and you know, have to stand against the all the things of the world. Why? Because people just don't have a backbone sometimes to stand alone and stand for their own convictions. And it's like, you know, people say, "Well, I don't like to be where people don't like them." But you know, I'd rather people hate me for who I am than people like me for a phony version of me. You know, if you think I'm just a fake, then you know what? Nobody knows who you are. Because you know, people, you can put on a good show for people, but if it's not the truth, if it's not who you are, then you know what? People don't even know who you are. And really, sometimes people get to the place where they don't even know who they are. You know, it's like the old saying was about the man, and it was a preacher many years ago, and they always talked about it, said, when he was with the oneness, he was oneness. And when he was with the two-ness, he was two-ness. And when he was with the Trinity, he was Trinitarian. And if you ever ask him how you baptize, he said, "In water, silly, how else?" Amen. All you had to do was tell him what you wanted, whatever you wanted him to preach, and he could preach it. I heard this man stand up, and he's told multiple people stood up, and he said that he believed that Brother Branham was Revelation 10:7, Malachi 4. And I've heard him, I sat in a tent meeting in one of his meetings as a kid, and I heard the man stand up and say, "I didn't know the serpent had a seed." And as a kid, I didn't know a whole lot, but I understood exactly what he meant. When he was, why? Because when people was paying the bills and everything like that, he was not going to say that he believed Brother Branham to be a prophet. Because whatever they, but you know what? When he got off by himself, when it was one-on-one, then people began to ask him questions. And you know, somebody asked him one time, said, "Why is it that you don't preach this message if you believe it? If you've studied this message, then why don't you preach this message?" He said, "That's for you younger men." See, people want to have a meal ticket. They just want to float along. But you know what? On the day of judgment, you don't have anybody. You have to give an account for yourself. We have to give an account. I have to give an account for myself. We have to give an account for our own actions, our own beliefs, our own way of doing things. Everything that we've done, we're responsible to that. We're responsible in the way that we raise our children. Everything is responsible. We're responsible to that. So we have to lay out, you know, because sometimes it's not easy to do what's right. It's not fun to do what's right. When just like raising children, you know, we never want to believe when your parents tell you this is harder on me than it is on you. You're lying. Until you become a parent. And then you know what? It breaks your heart sometimes. But you see when you have this relationship and you begin to see this thing, then you understand how God is. You know, as who was it? I believe Brother Branham or Brother Dale always said, you know, God chastises with nail-pierced hands. You know, how does God raise His children? And how does he look at things? And many times I can honestly say I'm not Christ-like. Because sometimes that I get up and speak and unfortunately Dale Roberts is there. Like the older I get, the more I see my dad. I speak and sometimes it's like Dale Roberts. I look in the mirror and I see Dale Roberts. Why? Because it's of the flesh. And it's like, well, you know, we don't like to live that way, but you know, that's who we are. And it's a battle. You've got to overcome that. And so, you know, many times, you know, we wish we had just, every time we'd open our mouth, it would be the words of Christ. We would have the mind of Christ all the time, and everything that we would say and everything that we would do would just be so Christ-centered that we wouldn't have an issue. But lots of times we don't do that. Aaron Roberts shows up on the scene. And then it was like, Lord, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Because that's the struggle. And so we just continue to allow God to do the work in us. And we realize every time we fail and we have faults and we have struggles, we realize, you know, we're not where we ought to be. But praise God, the Lord shows us in those times, you need to lean on me. You need to put your trust in me. Now it's time to move on from this. Are you happy where you're at? No, I'm not. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I don't want to do this again. But that's what God does for us. Here in, we read this earlier. This is John chapter 15, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, this is from the message, The Restoration of the Bride Tree. Brother Branham says, see, God is the good husbandman. He pruned the tree that was all cut off, all the dead limbs. He said, what's he going to do? Burn them up there. Exact. God is the husbandman of the tree, of this tree. He takes care of it. He watches over his heritage. What is his heritage? His own word. He watches over his word to confirm it, to watch it, see where it can get. He's going to restore. See, when these churches began to organize and things like that, he just prunes them off and the church goes on. And he said, later on, he says, see, he's going to restore. So we understand that God is the husbandman. And one of the things I want to look at tonight about cultivating the seed and the understanding about the husbandman. You know, Brother Ram talks about God being the husbandman, and he also talks about Christ being the husbandman. And so there's, and he also talks about the pastor being a husbandman and different ones. And so I just want to look at some of these things tonight, but understand how God does the work and it continues on. Because the scripture tells us that, I didn't bring it, but the scripture tells us, you know, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head is over the wife, and how all these things work together. And so we see how this is to work together as it comes down, and everybody has a place. But, you know, many times people want to look at it as the scripture tells us, you know, we're not to be lords over God's heritage, but we're supposed to be caretakers of God's heritage. And so, you know, when you look at God being a husbandman, you know, then he prunes and he takes care of this. And, you know, he has care of what he's trying to do. And many times people like to try to think, you know, we're supposed to, or even sometimes people has the mentality that the pastor's up here and he's just supposed to beat you over the head or you know, all these type of things. And not realizing the strain and the pressure that the preachers go through, that the ministers, that the pastor goes through, trying to labor in the word for the people. And the care that it takes, that because it's, you know, like Brother Branham says, you know, many times he would get up and he's cutting, but, you know, it's not because he wants to be that way. Brother Branham's trying, but he's trying to convey the word of God. And even sometimes, you know, he says, you know, I tried to pass, you know, try to pass around this sometimes, but he said, God kept bringing me back to this. Why? Because he was the voice to tell the people that you're veering off, that you're off the word, that you're not in the place that you should be, and he's bringing the people back to show them where they ought to be. And so he was trying to bring the people back to this place, and here Brother Branham is speaking of God being this good husbandman, and he wants us to bring forth good fruit. He wants us to bring forth more fruit. And then he continues to purge for us to bring forth much fruit, the scripture tells us. So as we come through these things, and he said the things that are not to be correct, then he said he's there to prune all these things off so that we may grow more, to become more into the stature of him. And he said that we cut all these things off for us to see how these things take place. Here is trimming all these things off. And so when these things are taking place, it's to make us more into his image. And many times we go through many things in our lives and we wonder why we don't understand or we don't appreciate those things that we have to go through, the things that we have to face. But, you know, we see these things are for our benefit. They have a great benefit to us, the heavenly vision that's taking place that when God brings us all through these things. How he brings us all through these. And so he continues on here in Hebrews chapter 2. Brother Branham is speaking, and he begins to talk about redemption. He says, I wish we had more time right now. He said, I'd like to take you to that law of redemption. He said, but we haven't. But just for a moment, he said, a beautiful picture is in Ruth and Naomi. He said, if you'll see there the reconciliation, how that the husbandman, the man that was to redeem the lost and the fallen estate, had to be kinfolks to the person that had lost the estate. He said, that's the reason Boaz had to be a kinsman to Naomi, that he could get Ruth. Then he had to be worthy. And he talks about having to go through and make a testimony and to redeem them. And this is from the breach. Brother Bram says, see, Boaz had to become a redeemer, and he was the only one that could. He had to be a kinsman, a near kinsman, and redeeming Naomi, he got Ruth. That was Jesus, Boaz type in Christ, and when he redeemed Israel, he got the Gentile bride. So here he is when he's talking about this reconciliation. See, they, you know, as the scripture tells us, and Brother Bram tells us, you know, Christ didn't bring us to an inheritance. He brought us back to an inheritance. That inheritance was already ours, but there had to be reconciliation to bring us back into the place where we needed to be. Because, you know, because the scripture tells us, and Brother Brown talking about the bride tree was ate down, but there was a word that was given for them to be restored, to bring back, to cultivate the tree back to the place where it was, to bring back the fullness of the tree, for us to come back to the fullness of what God had in His mind of what the bride would be. See, down through the ages, the bride was a part of Christ, but she never could manifest the part that God wanted her to express. She never could, because the word was ate down, but the word had to be restored so she could come back to the place where God wanted her to be. And so there was a reconciliation, a word of reconciliation that had to come, that she could be brought back to the place where she ought to be. Just as Naomi and Ruth there, you know, when Naomi had lost her family and she had went away, but when she came back, there had to be somebody there that was willing to redeem Naomi, right, to bring her back into her possessions. Because you know what? Because the possessions still belonged to Naomi. Those were still her possessions. But the problem was, there had to be somebody to do the work, to do the act of reconciliation as a kinsman, to do the work to bring her back to that place. And when Boaz come to place, you know, realizing he could do the work, when there was a near kinsman who wouldn't do it. He didn't want to do it, but Boaz wanted to. And he came and he done the work to bring Naomi back to the place where she ought to be. Bring what was hers back to her. She came back into possession of what actually belonged to her. And so then he was able to get Ruth. But see, there was one that had to bring us back to the place where we ought to be, to bring us back into fullness of where we ought to be. Praise God, because, you know, when you think of where you came from and where He came from to bring us back into, because praise God, when we come in this world lost and alienated from God, and not, who thought we had anything? But praise God, the Word come to show us who we are and what belonged to us. We're not second-class citizens. We're not aliens. But you know what? We are children of the living God. And He came to bring us back into fellowship and bring us back into possession of what is ours. That He came to bring us back, to restore us. See, it's a wonderful thing to realize who you are. You know, because many times the devil wants us to live so far below our privileges and not realize who we are. And take God at His word. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to take a stand and realize what belongs to us. And stand up. Because if he's done the work of reconciliation, if he's paid the price, if he's done the work and He's brought it back to you, can you imagine that if here's Naomi, who's been alienated and she lost everything, but it still belonged to her. But then all of a sudden, here's Boaz comes out and does the work of reconciliation, of restoration, and brings her back to the place and says, listen, Naomi, all the things that you've lost belong to you again. They're now in your possession. And then Naomi's still living on the side of the road somewhere. What if she was living in some squalor somewhere and not realizing she had a place to go to? She had a possession, and yet she never took possession of it. She had something that she could win on, and then she had all of these goods, and she had this land and all these other things that belonged to her, and yet she never walked in it. She never took possession of it. She never claimed any of it. Well, then what was the work that Boaz done if you never take and possess the things that Boaz has given you? If the work has been done and you never claim those things, if He's brought it back to you and made you heir, hey, you're the heir of these things. All the promises of God that are in the Scripture, they become ours. But you know what? If we don't take possession of them, if we don't claim them, then you know what? What God has done is null and void. But if we take these things and realize what God has brought back to us, what God has given us, and then we take these things and then we begin to walk in those things. Just as the Word of God has been planted in each one of us. Then guess what? Then God, the Holy Spirit is here to grow, for you to quicken the Word that you hold. For you to grow by. Then if we lack something, as 2 Peter tells us about, you know, if we realize, you know, if we have these things, then we're not barren or unfruitful. But, you know, we can grow by these things. These are our possessions that we're able to grow. Then when he's giving you the Word, and he brings the Holy Spirit, which is to quicken the Word, which is to water the Word, when he brings these things to you, then if you don't grow, then whose problem is it? So he's trying to cultivate. Why? Because he's a husbandman. And what is a husbandman doing? He is there working on that tree, and then he's beginning to cultivate. And everything that you have need of, he begins to work in your life. Everybody's different, but whatever you have need of, you start on this journey, and he begins to lead you along that journey, and he begins to bring out the things that you have on the inside, that you bring forth the things that God has given you, that you begin to manifest Jesus Christ. Why? Because everybody has a different thing that they've got to overcome. But praise God, whatever it is that you've got to overcome, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He's already given you these things to overcome by these things, if you will just continue to feed on these things and grow by them. But see, the praise God, when you realize, you know, he doesn't just plant something and as Brother Wade was talking about the baby, you know, just go stick it in the closet and expect it to grow up. But you know, it's the same thing about having a husbandman that's cultivating a seed, which is the Word of God, that when he is trying to grow this thing, see, he's overseeing that Word, because that Word is going to come to fruition. Whether you believe that or not, it will. Why? Because God started a work in you. How many times has God done something in your life and you begin to look at the things that you went through in your life and you don't think you'll overcome? When you don't think you'll make it. When you don't think you'll get an answer. When you don't see a miracle, and all of a sudden when you begin to, the Word comes forth and he begins to speak to you in the middle of the night or from a preacher or wherever it is, he begins to speak to you, and all of a sudden you begin to see that your answer's already there. And all of a sudden you begin to see the things that God starts working in your life. Even when you can't put it in your mind to understand what God's going to do, he'll come on the scene and begin to work. How many people can stand up and say, you know what, I believed everything God said. I expected all this to take place. How many times have you had things happen in your life and you're still trying to wrap your mind around it? When you sit down and you think about the goodness of God and you begin to think about what God's done in your life and where you've come from and where you are today, and still try to wrap your human mind, your finite mind, around what God's done for you. To realize what God's done for you, where you are today. How great is our God that he's brought us to this place. See, if we realize what God has done for us. God has done so many wonderful things in our life. See, if we begin to just take the things that God has said and see the works that God has done. And see, God has already fulfilled these things. We don't see that. But can you get, you know, but that's what the Scripture tells us. In the mind of God, it's already finished. When he died on the cross, he took stripes on his back and died on the cross and said, it's finished. when he said it was finished, then you know what? Brother Branham said, if Jesus was standing here right now in a suit in front of you, he couldn't do any more than what he's already done for you. You come and said, Jesus, help me. He said, I can't. He said, I've already done it. I've already healed you. You've already come to that place. Now who? Because he's already brought you the gift. When you're seeking the Holy Ghost, when you're out praying that the Lord come, and you know, one of these days, you know what? You realize, you know what? That God begins to speak to you, and you realize from the Scripture that, you know what? It's already been given to you. It's already a gift. He's already given it to you. And one of these days, we realize if we die out to ourselves, and we can receive it. But the problem is we want to hold on to Aaron Roberts. We're still holding on to Bob Black. And in one of these days, you know what? We die out to ourselves. If we get out of our own way, then God can do something. And all of a sudden we realize, you know what? I've got out of my way. I got out of God's way. And then we get to that place, well, praise God, then God can do something. God can show us what he's already given us. When Brother Branham stood there and said, he said, do you realize that God wants to give you the Holy Ghost more than you want it yourself? Now, how many times do we stand there and we are so worked up about receiving the Holy Ghost, we're so desirous and not realizing God wants to give it to us more than we want it ourselves. See, it's an amazing thing when we realize that. Why? Because God wants to give it to you. And there comes a day when you realize that the Lord is coming to bring that to you. There's a day that he's coming in to dwell in you. We die out to ourselves and we can receive him, but it takes a dying out to ourselves. God honors our faith. And he said he gives us the Holy Ghost. There's a time we realize, you know, because we got faith in what he's doing. We get out of our way. We get out of his way. See, if we understand these things, then God can bless us. And everything else, it's the same, because it's the same one that led us on, that started on our journey, that found us wherever we were in our confusion and our darkness, and put us into a place that he brought us into the light. And justified us and sanctified us and filled us with the Holy Ghost. Brought us all the way through. And then all of a sudden we get to the place where we realize, you know what, we have been filled with the Holy Ghost and been brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And we realize that we've come into the kingdom of God and we have a place, we have standing with him. When we see, when we understand who these things are, and then people will turn around and I don't know if I can make it up the stature of a perfect man. Why? Because it's the same journey. It's the same faith. It's the same word that you started on the journey with. It's going to continue on the way. See, it's the same journey. Lord, just help us get out of our way. Help us get out of your way. See, what takes place? What do we need? Because when we begin to look here and we talk about God being the husbandman and Christ being, you know, we see how Christ was the husbandman. And you know, realizing in the last day, that's the reason I read this scripture. I'm gonna close here in a minute, but that's the reason why I read that scripture tonight, Ephesians 4. Why did he send apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors? Why were they sent? Why were they sent? Because they were sent to bring us to the place where we ought to come to. He says, here in the scripture, I want to read this. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He said, till we all come in the unity of the faith, while we all have to be born again by the same faith we were brought into the body and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we all come to the place where God, because every one of us has a place in the body of Christ. Everybody has their position in the body of Christ. And, you know, because sometimes people don't realize, you know, you've got a position. You've got a place in the body of Christ. You're part of the body. And you know what? You're important. Because you know what? It don't matter who it is or what part of the body it is. You're important. Because without you, whether you think you're so insignificant and yet nobody will miss you, but if you're part of the body of Christ, you're significant, because without you, the body is not complete. No matter whether you think how small or insignificant, but you know what? Even the parts of the body, the Scripture tells us, you know what? All the small parts, even the uncomely parts, you know what? They still have their comeliness. They have their part, and they have their position, and they have their respect and their honor. Everything has their position, has their place. And so, as he was speaking, it took the fivefold ministry, the husbandman. Because it's no longer I. It's not me doing the work. Because I honestly would tell you, I'm a poor example of a minister. Well, I didn't get any amens, so that's good. But that's the way, you know, because you know what? You can't think any higher than yourself, because you realize who you are. You have to realize, you know, who you are. I realize who I am. I wake up with this guy every day. I look at him in the mirror every day. But you know what? If it wasn't for the grace of God, you know what? We wouldn't be where we are today. Because I realize my faults and failures, nobody has to point them out. I see them all the time. I live with me. I know who I am. But praise God, see, it's not me, because I think, man, we've got some great ministers here. And I listen to them, and I'm like, man, we got, I mean, it's like, well, I'll just take a back seat. When you see those things, but you realize God called you to do your part. If we look at ourselves, we're insignificant. We're inadequate. But praise God, it's not us, it's God. It's God doing the work. But see, it takes God, and so Brother Bram talking about the preachers and the pastors. So the fivefold ministry is the husbandman, and what are they trying to do? They're trying to cultivate the word that people hold, who you are. They're trying to cultivate that word. They're trying to cultivate Jesus Christ in you. And many times people say, well, you know, that's just Brother Dale, or that's just Brother Wade, or that's just Brother Bob. Well, you know, sometimes we got to stop and think, you know what? We just need to say, no, we just need to be quiet. Because sometimes we don't realize, because what is hindering us is our own thoughts. It's our own actions. It's our own mouth. We're hindering God. Because you know, so well, you know, maybe somebody says something that we don't like. Something is said that we take offense to. It's like, well, you know what? Before you say anything or before you act a different way, maybe what you need to do is pray about it. We need to sit down and pray about it and say, well, Lord, I don't want to be a hindrance. Because you know what? As a body, maybe y'all don't, because, you know, we look at what Brother Branham said about hindering the church. You know, one person can have a problem. See, you hinder yourself, but you hinder everybody else. When you overcome, when you're strong, when you do your part, then you know what? You're edifying the body. But you know what? When we fail, when we don't do our part, how small or insignificant we think. But he was saying, you know, one little thing, one person can do one thing and cause a church to fail. We can hinder somebody from getting their healing. We can hinder so many people and not realize it. What was it? When Achan was out there in the battle, well, he saw just a few wedges of gold and a garment, that Babylonian garment. Well, it was just insignificant. It was small. Nobody was ever going to miss any of that. Nobody was ever going to miss those gold wedges and that garment. Look at all the stuff that was left. No, none of that was touched. All that got destroyed. We didn't mess with any of that. But he had that one little bit. And what was it? Just that one little bit. And how many men died? Was it 21? Brother Bob will tell me. Brother Bob's going, I don't know. But you know how many men lost their lives because they thought, well, that's insignificant. And if we think, well, I'm part of this body. And it's like, well, I don't do my part. Then you know, you can hinder somebody else. And sometimes the issues that we have is some people get in their mind a certain person isn't valuable. One person is expendable. One person we can overlook. And not realizing God doesn't look at them that way. Some of the ones that are not here with us anymore. And I'm not talking about the ones that have passed on. I'm talking about the ones that are not in this building. The one person I think of is Brother George. You know, when you think about people that are not here, well, you know what? They have their value because God loves them. God died for them. And many times, like, well, they're insignificant or whatever. No, they're not. One person, one young person that's left this church, when you look at one child that's walked out of this church, no matter what they do, when they walk out of this church, they're walking over a lot of prayers when they walked out that door. And you know what? Each one of those children are worth 10,000 worlds. All the money that Bill Gates and all of them ever, all the money that Toyota has, none of that means anything to one soul. They walk out this door. They, well, you know, I'm living my life. I'm living it up. I'm doing good. No, you're not. And I don't care where you go or what you do. You walk out of this church, the token has still been applied to you. And I don't care if nobody else prays for them. I'll pray for them. I'll stand and believe for them. Because I believe God will, because if I believe that God has called them and we have called for them and they'll come back. And I, you know, I ain't got to try to figure it out. I know that he'll take care of it. So we have our job to do. And we are to be ones that, not to be, as the scripture says, not to be a lord over the people, but to be a servant. And I got a couple of scriptures here I want to read before I quit. 1 Peter 5:1-5 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, being the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." And so that is our job. And I appreciate the brothers here. I appreciate Brother Wade and his work and his labor and these other brothers. I appreciate their... And I hope and pray that I get to the place where I'm willing an example of your ministry. Because we realize it's God doing the work, it's not us. But God has placed these men in our lives to bring us to the place that we need to come to. And the last scripture I want to read here tonight, this is from 1 Corinthians 3:5-8. And it says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom we believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" He says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." So we all have our own part to do. And as we see, God has called us to this place, and we are to help cultivate the body. And each one of us have our own part to play. But, you know, God called us to this place. And if God has called us to be ministers, to cultivate this. He said, you know, Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Whatever one does and the other one comes behind it, all five offices have to work together. The fivefold ministry has to work together. There's not one greater than the other. It's all of us working together because God is the one that gives the increase. The prophet came and brought us the word, but he gave a divine commission for the ministers to pick this message up and to carry it on. He said that there will be young men that will pick this message up and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. And I believe that's what God has called us to. But not to be someone that tries to be a lord over anybody or try to force people into something. But to be an example to the believers of what needs to take place. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. We'll have the musicians come and I want to sing that little song.
I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more love, for I could never ever outlove the Lord. I want to live the way he wants me to live.
Give our brother a nice hand. You can never outlove the Lord, and I appreciate that. I want somebody who loves me more than I even love me. Right? It's like a brother saying, I want somebody to love me. I want the Lord to love me more than because I'm totally unlovable. And so are you. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Just want to give you a couple of things to remember. Coming up for the weekend. Oh, that was 36 men that were killed in the battle. Yeah, 36 because of Achan's sin. Brother Dale is doing all right. He's still in the hospital, room 3430. They are wanting to put him in a rehab facility to continue with his learning how to stand, and he's eating a little more solid food. We'll just keep him in prayer, all right? And just keep us in prayer because we're staying with him pretty much 24/7. And Brother Boyd knows how that is, and so, but Brother Howells went on to his reward.
Amen.
Race is over. Battle's won.
Right. Amen.
You don't have to worry about that no more.
Right. Amen.
Nothing else we'll have to worry about.
Right.
That's why we're supposed to rejoice. So Saturday we're going to have a rejoicing time.
Amen.
We're going to start at 11 o'clock and have visitation till 2, right? There at Memorial Park Funeral Home out on Brownsbridge Road, off Brownsbridge Road. There will be food after. Remember, again, we're expecting a good group of people because the Thomas family's big, and then it'll be on Saturday, and there'll be a lot of friends there, and a lot of you are going to be there. So food. We need to make sure you see Sister Rachel or Sister Esther about the food for this weekend and serving it. We need to have somebody there to serve the food also. Sister June will be there, but Deanna's mother had a hysterectomy yesterday, so June's up there taking care of her. So we're just really taking care of everybody, and we got to get Deanna back and forth to all of her functions. So we're kind of running a little bit thin, so I appreciate that Sister Rachel and Sister Esther kind of took it off of our family for a little while, so we didn't have to, you know, bring food ourselves, but we sure are going to bring it anyway. So, and we'll all be there. Like I said, the funeral will start at 2 o'clock, and then we will have a graveside service, and then we will come back in and eat a meal. Just pray for the Thomas family. I was with them a little bit today and speaking with them, and Sister Audrey, she's okay, she's all right. But always when there's a gap, and there's a gap there. You've been with somebody for 60 or 70 years, and then all of a sudden they're gone. We know he's in a better place. We know all that. But there's still that little gap there. And we want to pray for Sister Audrey and ask the Lord to give her strength and the family, Janet and Debbie. Remember, this weekend, Sunday, will be communion and foot washing. We'll have regular services this coming Sunday. And then we'll have Bible study and all that the next weekend. But just remember, Saturday, 11 to 2, will be visitation. And then right at 2 o'clock, we'll go into the chapel. and we'll have the service there at 2 o'clock. So let's just keep that in prayer. Let's sing, Take the Name of Jesus with you. Thank you for coming. God bless you. We appreciate you. We love you with the love of the Lord. And like I said, there's going to be a lot of people, so we need to really get some food up there. The church is going to pay for the chicken and all the meat parts, so just make a veggie or something and try to be there so you can help serve. So let's sing Take the Name of Jesus with you as you're dismissed. Shake Brother Aaron's hand. Tell him he did a good job tonight. That was good. Cultivate. It kind of stirs stuff up every once in a while, though, when you cultivate.
That's right.
So that's what we want to do. We want to stir up a little bit. So God bless you. We love you. And you.